Good evening, and welcome back to the Know Your Role Player podcast. I'm your host, Jay, the number 215 forever. Follow your boy on IG. And on my IG page is my podcast page. It is at Know Your Role Player _ podcast. All right. Now, you can go to anchor.fm/KnowYourRolePlayer. That's KnowYaroLePlayer. Whether you have Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, Radio Public, iHeartRadio, or more, episodes like the currently one you listen to becomes available. All right, guys. Welcome back. Today is Monday, November 11th. So I'm not going to have this podcast long. I just want to talk about three or four different topics, and I'm going to get y'all out of here. So I think the first one we have to start with is injuries, man. Injuries. So injuries suck, man. To give you context, probably a lot of my favorite players have been always, or probably some of the most hurt superstars in NBA history, Tracy McGrady, Baron Davis, so Penny Hardaway. So I have a very soft spot for great players that get injured. You know, there's nothing you can do about it, and it just sucks. Now, even without them, a couple of guys suffer some pretty bad injuries, and a couple of guys are coming back. So Maxey clears the concussion protocol. Remember, he had got hurt the other night versus the last game versus Dallas, and he kind of didn't look great after that, and they kind of sat him out, but I'm glad he's back, all right? So he missed four straight games with the ball being in the concussion protocol. He suffered it on Sunday, that is, against the Dallas when he hit his head against the knee of Derrick Jones. He was forced to leave the court but eventually returned. And Nick Nurse announced that Maxey had a delayed and mild concussion. So it's kind of weird. You know, you just hope that these things get – concussions are no joke. So you just hope that these things can get pointed out why they happen. Like, concussions get glossed over a lot, and I feel like the last 10 years, football and basketball – done a better job prioritizing, yo, you're hurt, you suffered a concussion, you have to leave and get this fixed now. But there's still times I feel like where it's just like, you know, he's all right, he got the wind knocked out of him, instead of just, you know, doing the right thing. Not saying that was the case here, but just in general. Man, while we're still talking about bad injury news, unfortunately, Atlanta Hawks forward Sadiq Bey tore his ACL in his left knee. The team announced Monday. So this injury happened on Monday. The team announced it Monday. The injury happened on Sunday in the loss 116-103 to the New Orleans Pelicans. He left the game early in the fourth quarter. And it just sucks, man. Another bad injury. Bay, who will be a restricted free agent, so a double whammy because he was playing really well. And, you know, wings are a premium in this time in the league. Averaged 13.7 points and 6.5 rebounds per game. And then yesterday, whew. Okay, so one, knock on wood, because I kind of waited. It's almost 5:00 Eastern Standard Time about the official announcement. I'm hoping that we get good news on this. But last night I was watching the Kings and the Rockets game, and Sengun had an ugly leg injury. Again, you didn't see nothing snap, but something bent the wrong way, and it's really bad when you can't walk off the court. And he looked like he was in a lot of pain. He actually had a wheelchair off the court. So again, prayers up to all the following players. You know, like I said, y'all know Embiid is my guy. Even he's dealing with injuries. Injuries are something that just kind of coexist with all sports, man. It just sucks. You got to acknowledge them and you got to move forward. All right, so I want to talk about something. I want to talk about narratives. And this is a two-folded thing, and this is kind of the two main guys I want to talk about is Jason Tatum and Luka Doncic. All right, so let's go with Tatum first. So I want to first start by saying that I do always believe in Tatum, right? He's a great player, but he has these moments that drive me crazy. And I've said it ad nauseum on this podcast. Sometimes he just plays too soft. He's not aggressive enough. He can get passive. And because the Boston Celtics have had the best record in the league all season, there's been a narrative that he's the MVP, right? So one, I think we need legit ground rules on what an MVP is, because too many times this argument is shifting. And I think you have to have these ground rules because you can just make an argument for what it is. Now, I do believe narrative matters in MVP as far as how much that he does for this team. So last year, obviously, if you look at the Sixers now, they're an abomination, right? They're really bad. And yes, even with Maxey out, they're even worse. But even with Maxey, they still weren't good. And the Sixers struggled. But you see how much Joel Embiid dominates the game and just how great he is. Like, with Tatum, it's tough. He has great moments. But these other moments, he drives you crazy. Like I said, when he plays too soft, he's taking horrible shots, and he just drives you crazy. Because it's like, you see the talent. You know that eventually he's going to get there. But the problem is, I don't know if this is coming from Boston or just a certain, saying, but there are too many people that were pushing for him. Probably before last week, it kind of died down because he's had a really subpar week as far as the MVP. And the thing is, it can't just be the best player on the best team because, well, he's not the best player in the league. He's on a great team. Again, without Jason Tatum, the Celtics still make the playoffs. With Jason Tatum, they're a great team. Without him, they're a solid to decent team, right? And I think the biggest compliment to the Celtics are they're a great team. All moving parts are connected and working together, right? And again, don't get me wrong. He'll be on first or second team All-NBA. We'll see where he gets it specifically, but he won't fall no farther than second team All-NBA. He's had a really great year. But sometimes people are getting too dense with numbers, right? Even this year, if you look at Tatum's numbers, somebody compared them to LeBron in 2012 on the Miami Heat. Yo, here's the thing. When LeBron was on the Miami Heat, he wasn't having these bad games. Again, defensively, he was great. Every day, he was actually probably his most efficient self. It's probably one of the best versions of LeBron, Miami LeBron. But and again, it's not fair to compare Tatum to LeBron, but it's fair to compare Tatum to himself. There's too many games where these up and down performances happen. You know, even against Phoenix on Saturday night, just shooting horribly. Again, he eventually finished with, 29, hit 5 threes, but, 11 out of 28 from the field. It's not getting it done. Then another dud game. And like I said, the bigger issue was because people like him and he had the best record on the best team, they were like, well, he's the MVP. And it goes back to the original argument, well, what is the MVP criteria? So to me, I wouldn't say you have to have the best record in the East or the West or the best record in the NBA. To me, you have to have one of the top three or five best records. You have to win, right? You have to win and you have to drag your team. You all have to have some symbol of success, right? And with that, I've always said for this season, me personally, that Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, who has the second best record, is the MVP. Because if he's off that team, they're back in the lottery. All right, they have a lot of good moving parts and a lot of good role players, but he is the engine. Every night, he's been one of the most guys that you can depend on every night to get 30. I think he scored almost 30 points versus every team except for like three teams this season. You know, he's dependable, he's efficient, he stays healthy, he's not selfish at all with the ball, he passes the ball, and he doesn't really have a number two guy, right? Josh Giddey can, run some off-ball action sometime when he's not playing. Chet Holmgren has been really good. He's had a fantastic rookie start after even slowing down a little bit in the last couple of weeks. But there's no number two. Now, Jalen Williams has had good moments, and I think he'll grow into a number two. But there's no number two superstar on his team. There's him and a bunch of moving parts that really play well together. Again, shout-outs to Lou Dort, Chet Holmgren, Isaiah Joe. They're a really great team. Back to the MVP, what is the criteria? If you just went lazily, well, who has the best record? You would say the Celtics. And you would say, well, Jason Tatum's their best player because he is. So he would be the MVP. But that's not good. Luka is a different story, right? So Luka Doncic, let me go to the Western Conference. Luka's team, Dallas Mavericks, are 36-28. Now, that's kind of tough to talk about. They're in the eighth seed. And they are they're probably about two games back of the five seed and five games back of the four seed. So there's a lot of moving parts from six to eight. From seven to nine, all have 36 wins, right? And then from six has 37 wins. So there's all these teams bunched up in there. But like I said, in my humble opinion, even Joker, I couldn't argue Joker or L, but I would give it to SGA, right? I think they beat Denver 2-1 this year. But again, they have the best record in the East. I know I'm never the guy that's going to downplay what Jokic does, but Jokic is on a much better team than them, right? And again, he's great every night, but to me, SGA has been the MVP, right? He's been the one I can trust, and it's like, I feel like people are even kind of hesitant to say it. So last year when SGA won first team All NBA, it was shocking to me because it was no doubt in my mind that he was one of the best guards in the league. But a lot of times with awards, they're really name driven, right? They're really like, if you're good, you're kind of off the strength. You'll get a spot, you know. Especially between All NBA awards and All Defensive Team awards, you really get a shot to, you know, kind of make one of your All NBA teams as long as you have a pretty decent year. And, you know, I just feel like Luka, the Dallas Mavericks should be better. They made trades at the All-Star break to improve with depth on the wing, with a backup big. And, you know, Luka's been getting these triple-doubles, but they're not really been winning, and their defense is worse, you know. And, again, I've always – y'all know how I feel about Luka. Again, these offensive numbers are insane, but that team should be better. Charles Barkley and Shaquille O'Neal talked about it the other day, like – to me, there's no way the Dallas Mavericks should be like this. And again, Charles said one of my favorite things, when a player gets more talent, his number should go down. Now, they have more shooting now, right? They have ball handlers. And I just feel like offensively, maybe the team has to do some evolving. Because they it's kind of like James Harden. They run around Luka ball, Luka at the top of the roll, pick apart the defense. And again, all that's cool. But a lot of that can be stopped in the playoffs, right? And so let me give you a list instead, all right? So number one, I would put SGA. Number two, I would put Joker. And number three, I would put Luka and then Tatum number four, right? Is there anybody else I want in before them guys? Yeah, Tatum number four. Milwaukee's been up and down. Can't go wrong with Giannis, but I would make that my top four. Right, in that particular order, because I look at Dallas and I feel like their floor should be higher. They should be a better team with more wins. I look at Tatum and be like, well, you haven't been one of the top three players. You've just been on a great team, and there's too many times in big games where you have inconsistent games. And again, you can't just give somebody an MVP award because they're on the best team. That's just lazy. It has to be better than that. It has to be more to it. So again, what is my criteria for Shai Gilgeous-Alexander 20 award? He is the engine. You take him away from the team, they stink. If you took him away from the Western Conference, they would go from 1 to probably about 9 or 10, right? If I took Tatum off, they'd probably go from 1 to about 6 or 7. They'd still be a pretty decent team, but they wouldn't be nowhere what it is. Two, big moments. There has been game after game after game when SGA comes up in the clutch. Again, all-around player. He can play defense. He can play offense. He can pass. He is consistent. He gets to his shots all the time, and he doesn't have a lot of bad games. He doesn't. He might have had about 3 or 4 bad games, but Tatum probably had about 12 or 14, right? And again, Tatum's such a great player that his numbers are going to be there, but it's kind of weird with Tatum because it's like, all right, is he a superstar? He's probably right on the cusp, and I think what Tatum is, people are so ready to give him all the anointing. It hasn't actually happened yet. But championships, the All-NBA, like he's right at that breakthrough point, but he hasn't broken through yet. And again, for me, with the Celtics, their work is in the postseason. They have to get to the NBA Finals, and they have to win. To me, they're head and shoulders the best team in the NBA. I think they're better than Denver. I know Denver beat them, but I think they're better than Denver when all their moving parts are ready to get going in the playoffs. But they have to win. So again, to wrap this up, my MVP choices would be SGA number one. I said Jokic number two, Luka number three, and Jason Tatum number four. All right? There's a lot of other guys that have been solid. I am all out on Phoenix. I don't think they play any defense. I think they have a couple of solid role players, but I'm not a fan of Phoenix. The Pelicans drive me crazy also. They're inconsistent too much. Right now they're 5 seed. We'll see what they do. Zion's played a lot better after the All-Star break. His assist been up. Brandon Ingram has played better. And they have also simultaneously played better together as a unit. So that's important there as well. But that's it. I can't do Anthony Edwards. I don't think he's – even though they had a very good record, I think – and he's had some crazy moments. I think those guys are in my top four. But I do want to shout out Anthony Edwards because that block he did on Friday night, I'm going to post a highlight too. It's probably the craziest block I've seen this year. All right, and every game he has one of these, like, defiant moments where he just does some of the craziest stuff you've ever seen. All right, so next off, I want to talk about the Los Angeles Lakers and are they hitting their stride? So they defeat the Minnesota Timberwolves 120-109. Now, I got to be honest, Minnesota was down two starters. As we know, and I talked about injuries, I completely forgot to miss, and I apologize. Karl-Anthony Towns also tore his meniscus, so he's out for about a month. Now, here's the thing. A meniscus takes about 8 weeks. I don't know if y'all do math. 8 weeks in a month are not the same, so maybe he knows something that I don't, but hopefully they can get him back in time, but he's going to be out for a while. So they were down two starters last night, and they lost to the Los Angeles Lakers 120-109. Really solid effort by Anthony Edwards, finished with 25-7-7. To me, the big thing in this game, and Naz Reid filled in really good for Cat, but Mike Conley didn't get it done. So Mike Conley usually plays really well against the Lakers. He has a great history get him. And they kind of didn't have that third option. He needed his shooting, even though they did get some good shooting from Alexander and Naz Reid. But they and Malafkin or McGalkin, I always butcher his name, I apologize. But to me, Mike Conley has to be a hub for when they win, especially when they play teams like the Lakers. You know, they're down. They got killed on the board. Anthony Davis dominated them with 25 rebounds and 27 points. Father Time got nothing on LeBron, man. 29-89, just another day in the office. And Austin Reeves also chipped in with 19-6-4. The Lakers in their last couple of games have really been hitting their stride. Got to give D'Lo some credit. He's really been stepped up. All right, I want to be honest with y'all. D'Lo is a guy I have a love-hate relationship with because I was a big fan of his game in college, but I didn't know he was that immature coming into the league. And I think he definitely did some growing up, but he is the king of saying cringe things, right? The other day, he's like, yo, I got two left. And again, I don't even think that was cringe. He was like, I got two left feet. I can't really move, but I'm busting your favorite players behind. He used some explicitives there, but you can obviously fill that in. He said, public humiliation is my driving force. And I get what he's saying. You know, I guess like internet or memes and stuff kind of pushed him, but he always just says like the weirdest, dumbest thing. But again, that's not what it is right now. And again, I don't change my stance on him about the playoff time, but I got to give credit where it's due. And he has been a stabilizer for the Lakers. Again, the Lakers have been getting a little better with some of the shooting with Austin Reeves. LeBron's shooting been really good this year. Wednesday, I might want to do a 10-minute video on LeBron's shooting because he's been absolutely amazing this year. He really did fix some of his mechanics, getting the ball over his head faster. But back to D'Lo, he's been a stabilizer. And they need him so much because they really don't have a lot of shooting in their starting five. And I got to give LeBron props because he was empowering him the other day. Even when he had 44, he kind of gave him the ball to hit the last big shot in order to walk away and win the game. And that's so important. Like I said, I still don't think he's the long-term answer at the point guard. Even though they did sign to a contract extension. And I still believe in the playoffs that he's going to get played off the floor. But again, I'm a big advocate of what you're doing right now is important and the regular season matters. And right now it matters that he's playing phenomenal basketball. And I want to make sure they're saying that. Now on the other side, are Lakers hitting their stride? They're doing what they're supposed to do. All right, they're beating teams they're supposed to beat. They're going to have some much tougher teams and opponents coming up. So we'll see how that goes. I have to mark this win kind of with a grain of salt. A team's missing two starters. They hung in there for most of the game, but they kind of just got obliterated on the gas. But again, what you're supposed to do is win the games that you're supposed to win and let everything else happen as it is. And you got to give the credit for the Lakers to winning that game and continuing to play well, right? Because right now, if we look at the standings again, the Lakers are ninth. Wow. So the Lakers are in a little bit of trouble. They are 36-30. I thought it was a little higher than that. They're ninth. They're not going to fall out to play in because they're not going to fall behind Golden State. But the Lakers got to get it together. The Lakers, Sacramento, and Dallas, out of all those teams, I don't know. Dallas plays the worst defense. The Lakers are the best defensive team out of all of those, so they should probably move up the most. The Kings' offense can just win them enough games. You know, their defense is atrocious. And the Warriors, Stephen Curry just weren't hurt. I don't know, man. The Warriors are, like, fighting on every last breath and trying to push one more run. But I don't know. I don't know if they got one more run in them. It seems like everything's breaking down in front of them. So we'll see what happens. All right, so last thing I want to talk about before I get you out of here, I want to do today's picks. The Hornets and the Pistons. The Pistons have been playing better. They finally got a win versus the other night versus Brooklyn. They're at home and they're favored to beat Charlotte. I think the Pistons are going to win this game. And I think Jalen Durant's going to have a really good game tonight. He got in an argument with P.J. Washington. There's been a little Pistons-Charlotte beef over the years with P.J. Washington, Isaiah Stewart. Been some guys pushing each other back and forth. But I love the Pistons in this spot tonight. I want to talk about Cade as my last topic. Suns and Cavaliers. Yo, the Cavs are just an interesting team. Now, I think Devin Booker is playing. If Devin Booker plays, if Devin Booker plays, I'm going to give the Suns the advantage because I think he can just outscore. And they have nobody to, you know, match up with KD on the wings. Dallas and the Bulls. This is tough. All right, Luka should absolutely dominate his matchup. And Kyrie should do whatever he wants. But, I don't know, the Bulls can score too, and Dallas' defense is terrible. So this is kind of a pick'em game. I think I'm going to go with the Bulls tonight. I think I'm going to go with the Bulls to win at home. A little underdog pick. Spurs and Warriors. I do not believe Steph Curry is playing. He is out today. Wembanyama is out also. So I am going to go with the Golden State. Raptors and Nuggets. Yo, the Raptors are really bad, man. The Nuggets are going to steamroll them. Celtics and Trailblazers. I know Drew Holiday is out. I think everybody else is playing. I think this is their first game versus Malcolm Brogdon. Don't think that matters at all. I think they kind of cleared him and won easily. Yo, so my last topic before I get it out of here is Detroit basketball. Yo, so on the lowest key, right? The Pistons probably really are my second team. And that's all because of Cade Cunningham. There's not too many people I defend more than Cade, right? And it sucks because he gets injured and he has these bad games. And I'm like, I'm trying to tell these people. I'm trying to tell them, man. But he's really a great player kind of coming into his own. And I think this last couple of games, probably last 5 or 10, has really kind of I'm not going to say people don't know about him. Obviously, an NBA fan knows about him, but I feel like he's starting to get more attention than he did before. And again, all that hinges on is just the Pistons winning games, and he'll get all the love he's supposed to get. But he's really stepping into his own, playing a lot better. Let me give you all some numbers real quick. So, in Cade's last 10 games, he's been really solid. All right, he's averaging about 22 points, 26, 30, 32, 26, a couple of bad games, and 21 and 9. 32 and 33. His three-point shot has really been coming along. He's made at least 3 three-pointers in his last 3 games. And he's just been aggressive. You know, the thing about Cade is I kind of compare him a little bit to Harden, where he doesn't – okay, so probably a different Harden. Maybe Harden in OKC, where he was a good athlete but not a great one. He had great size. He had good size for a guard and good strength. Now, he didn't have the most craziest bunnies, but he always got to his spots. He could finish good, and he had a good jump shot. Now, James Harden, before he got to Houston, was a different player, right? And I don't think that's a bad comp, but that's kind of what I pitch him as. But it's very important that he continues to be aggressive as a scorer because, one, the Pistons stink, all right? And even though they got some guys that do like, there's going to be too many nights where they're down 10 and he's just got to keep scoring. And it's important for him to remain aggressive, right? They're not winning without him. They're only winning with him. And again, he's a really good passer. I know he just tries to set a lot of his teammates up. Even in those same games, his last 2 games where he had 30 points, he's also had 10 assists. So he's done a really good job as facilitating. Guys have been finishing the good shots he's been passing because he always does pass the ball. But they're playing some good basketball. You know, Asar Thompson also got hurt. Prayers up to him. Hopefully he'll get well. But like I said, I'm looking for – y'all remember I said in the Hot Take podcast last week, a week ago, I'm looking for the Pistons and Cade to keep winning. So I need them to win tonight. And I'm going to throw this out there. They're going to have a 4-game winning streak before the end of the year. I know that. Now that's a take because they've been stinking. I don't think they won 4 games within like in a long time. They're going to have a 4-game winning streak within, not March, some point in April. They're going to have a 4-game winning streak in April. That's my hot take. All right. Y'all take that to the bank. And that is pretty much it. A couple of news and notes. A couple of news and notes around the NBA. Rudy Gobert was fined $100,000 for the money gesture and talking about the officiating. NBA Executive Vice President and Head of Basketball Operation Joe Dumars announced that the fine takes into account Gobert's past instances contract detrimental to the NBA with regard to publicly criticizing the NBA. Gobert was called for a technical foul in the closing seconds of Friday night's game in overtime in a loss to Cleveland, where he rubbed his fingers together several times, implying that referee Scott Foster might be on the take. After being whistled for his sixth foul and being disqualified, Gobert stayed on the floor and made the gesture as Foster was going to the scorer's table. Foster didn't see Gobert, but official Nate did and issued a technical. His technical was allowed for the Cavs to tie the game, and they wound up actually losing that game. Minnesota did. So it's a little weird because, let me finish the quote. Gobert says, "I'll bite the bullet again Friday. I'll be the bad guy. I'll take the fine, but I think it's hurting our game. I know the betting and all that is becoming bigger and bigger, but it shouldn't feel that way." All right, so I want to address this the right way. So I don't know. One, any player that gets into it with Scott Foster has to know that Scott Foster has an ego. And what I mean by that is, you're not going to get too much back and forth before he gives you the tech, right? He's going to go back and forth with you, but you're not getting too much before he just gives you the tech. So you got to know where you stand with Scott, number one. Two, yo, that's just dumb, all right? Even if you do feel there's a way to say what you want to say without getting $100,000 is a lot of money, all right? There's a way to say what you want to say about the referees and gambling and sports betting without throwing up a money sign and saying, yeah, come on, ref, you got some money on this game? Like, it's a better way to do it. And again, it's kind of interesting that they gave him such a fine, because I'm pretty sure Draymond didn't get fined $100,000 when he punched him. I think he got fined maybe $50,000. I'm going to go back and double check that. But like I said, that's a lot of money. And I guess the big thing he said was his reputation. He's been saying things about the ref, and the league has to always protect itself. Do I think sports betting? All right, one, let's talk about real quick. It was already proven that games got fixed with Tim Donaghy. All right, the NBA has already proven now. Now, do I think that games are fixed? I think the league wants certain markets to do well and certain teams to do well and certain players to do well. But I don't think they don't change any of that outcome, right? I don't think the draft or anything. I just don't believe the league is fixed, because if it was fixed, you could fix some things and make it look way worse, you know? Now, a lot of people say the league was fixed because the Sacramento San Antonio Spurs got Wembanyama and not Charlotte. Yeah, and, you know, he's going towards a better organization. I can counter that if Wembanyama and LaMelo play together, they might be much better, because he's got a guy that can give him the ball well. And, you know, you got a couple other players like Miles Bridges that could do some things. I can make that small argument. Now, like I said, sports betting is becoming bigger and bigger in the NBA, and it has its own entity. But like I said, as a player, you just got to be smarter than that, man. And again, this isn't the first, second, or third time that Rudy Gobert has made a boneheaded decision. All right, I'm going to be honest with y'all. I know Rudy Gobert is a great defensive player. Not a fan. I think they kind of slot all the things he doesn't do well and just, oh, defense. And again, I'm well aware of what a center can bring and dominate inside. But I'm the last person defending Rudy Gobert, and I'm not defending Rudy Gobert. He's dumb, and he's going to get fined more. You got to be smarter than that. Again, you said you'll be the bad guy and get the 100K fines? Better man than me, bro. All right, I'm going to wrap that up right there. Please like, share, and subscribe. Wednesday, we're going to come back. I didn't forget y'all with the draft. It's a little early. It's almost March Madness, so we're going to have a better, you know, I get to do a deep dive in college basketball. I'm going to be honest with y'all. I cannot stand watching college basketball. It's slow. There's too many seconds on the shot clock. It's not good, but I watch it for the prospects. And these year prospects been, this draft class is okay, but I do see some guys that I do like. I'll probably talk about that on the Friday pod. Maybe not tomorrow, probably Friday. All right, we'll come back Wednesday and talk about all the things that happened for Monday and Tuesday. And that's it. Please like, share, and subscribe. Tell one friend and tell another friend and tell another friend about the Know Your Role Player podcast. That's KNOWYAROLEPLAYER podcast. All right. You hashtag Know Your Role Player, and every episode on every app, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, you'll find them. You'll always find them. All right. Y'all be good. Appreciate the support. Peace.